welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I want to welcome you to Aspire, what we call our satsang or our radio program, as it's referred to in the West. This program is for August the 19th, 2018. I'm very, very grateful to be with you, and I want to thank my sponsors right off the bat for everything that they make possible for my radio program, my television programs, and everything that I do here on Aspire. Without their support, I could not be here. I would not be here. And I hope that those of you listening understand that everything costs moolah. Yes, yes, yes. Everything costs money. Got to pay airtime. Got to pay everything. So your donations make all the difference in the world, and I hope that you will enjoy the radio program, find help in it, and at the same time, give consideration at least to the idea of being a sponsor. It is only through your gifts, your tax-deductible donations, that we are allowed to continue. If you go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, you will see in the middle of the page there, it says support, that four-letter word that everybody cringes at. But if you hit it, a drop-down menu will ensue, and you can read about where your donations go, how to sign up, and what it means. It's called Why Support Aspire? It's a very good question, and I hope you will take the time to read it and then to join us. It's very, very important. There are many, many misnomers about meditation. There's many misnomers about what it means to meditate. I can't keep up with all of the questions that are put to me one way or the other, either by my students who have been meditating for years or people who basically are just new to meditation or even considering it, and that's what we're going to be working on today, people who are considering meditation and the idea of thinking. The misnomer that crops up most of the time is the one where we believe that we are meditating only when our thoughts go away. And that just isn't the point of meditation at all. While that is a part of the process, it isn't that thoughts go away, it's that we transcend them. And I have found in my own life that if I did not understand that, if I was not aware of that, if that divine kind of accident didn't happen, I would not be meditating. So anyway, I've got three wonderful questions from people who have sent to me these little luscious gems of brilliance, and maybe I will be able to help them and help you at the same time, and who knows. First of all, the first question, let's just get into the first one from Nathan. He does not tell me where he lives. What do I do to not think? Is meditation beneficial? And if so, why? Well, there's so many questions involved. There's so many things to talk about. I'm going to talk about them as succinctly as old Gregory will allow me to here. First one is the idea of not thinking. What do I do to not think? You can't stop thinking, Nathan. It just isn't going to happen. There's just no way you're going to not think anymore. Thinking is a part of the process of how the brain works, the neurons, the synapses, the whole thing. And if you really look at it from the point of view of science, this process goes on and on and on. And it does go on and on. It isn't going to stop. And the object of meditation is not to stop it. You will never be able to stop your mind. And I think people even get to the point, and I've had emails about this and letters about the idea that what will happen if my brain stops functioning? What if I can't think anymore and I can't rev it back up into thought later on? Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff goes on and on in our brains. And we think about it and we cogitate over it and ruminate over it, and before you know it, we're thinking. The object of the effort of meditation is a couple of things. First of all, you have to understand what meditation is, Nathan. Meditation is simply going back to your deepest core that we kind of walked away from in many different ways due to thought, and allowing ourselves to resonate in the oneness of it all. It is a resonation to move into a state of being where we are no longer fixated on the thoughts that are running through our brain. We are actually passive towards those thoughts. They don't matter. And as you go deeper and deeper into your practice, you're going to find that these thoughts are purely illusions and delusions of, in my case, the Gregory mind, the mind of Gregory that is constantly thinking right, wrong, good, bad, right, wrong, good, bad, over and over and over again, never really sustaining any sense of compassion for those thoughts and what they are. Just, should I do this? Should I not do that? What about this happening? What about that happening? Just getting in the milieu of thoughts and getting in the current of them puts me into a place where I am susceptible to my emotionality. My emotions are the thing that guide my thoughts. My emotions are the thing that generate thought. Sometimes the subject and sometimes the thought itself. And when you're meditating, you have to be passive. Passive towards whatever it is that your mind wants to bring up that is getting a 911 phone call from the emotionality saying, we should be thinking about this, we should be doing that, we shouldn't be wasting time doing this, we should da-da-da-da-da-da. All of those thoughts are circular, repetitious, and they have to do with my DNA, my fear of not being able to survive, and all of the difficulties that ensue in not being able to survive. And as long as I live in that kind of thought, that kind of fear, that kind of anger, I'm going to find great difficulty in my life. So you ask me, what is the benefit of meditation? Everybody wants to know what the benefits are. I don't even know what to say to you about that. We don't meditate to benefit. That's the first thing right off the bat. I don't sit and meditate every day, a couple of times a day, a few times a day, any time of day, to get a benefit from the practice of meditation. There has to be something else in a person that allows them to meditate. There has to be a sequence, I think, of insights, not thoughts, insights that occur. These insights occur from within a person whereby they are beginning to feel the momentum of something very faint, but something still there, that there is more to this world and there is more to this lifetime than merely surviving and having a good time. Now, that is a very difficult thing for most of us to comprehend. It just is very, very difficult. But I'm telling you, it is the most important aspect of meditation itself. And once it is deeply understood within us, once we become aware of that there is this other world, this other language, this other essence that exists in the deepest recesses of our being, that is when something of the great nature of love will come about in our life. And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere and from everywhere comes this deep beauty, this oneness. It is about the oneness. I can't make you do that. I can't lure you into that. I can't tell you anything more about it than that. There is another world within you. A person who meditates is one who is very, very, what shall we say, intrigued with the effort of moving deeper into the heart and the soul, of developing a soul through the heart, and that's how it's done. Then something else happens. We feel a deep, profound sense of love unfolding. And in that love that unfolds is the goodness of our being. And you have great goodness in your being. And when you meditate, you come into that great goodness. You find out you are that great goodness. You realize what it's all about. You realize what your life is all about. You realize everything that is important to your life. Everything that you have ever worked for and achieved in the world is one thing. It belongs to the world. But what belongs to the heart, the soul, the essence, it's magnificent. It's utterly magnificent. So a part of that process is letting go of thinking, of no longer being a part of thought itself, and allowing love, real love, to live you. That's it, Nathan, for now. That's my beginning little speech on meditation. Please forgive me. Namaste. Benefits. If I go into meditation looking for benefits, I've gone in with desire, ambition, and of course, that creates more thoughts, which creates more stories in my head, which creates more mischief in my mind, and I will find it very difficult to meditate at all. Okay, the next one comes from Carol Ann. She does not tell me where she lives either. What do you mean by no mind? I don't get it, Carol Ann. Carol Ann, the term no mind comes from Gautama Buddha. A mind no longer arguing, no longer thinking about what is right and wrong, no longer fixated. It is a mind that does not need to have stories and thoughts that prevail into conclusions that then bring about more stories and thoughts and more conclusions. And this cycle of thinking goes on and on and on. And it's really about not going there. That's really all it's about. And if you understand that ever so slightly, you will be aware that no mind is a mind that doesn't function like my human mind does, like the Gregory Penn mind does. My Gregory Penn mind functions in a kind of a sinister stupidity. And it just goes on and on and on with mischief and misunderstanding and not seeing the bigger picture. And there is nothing worse, Carol Ann, than not seeing the bigger picture of my life. If I meditate, I start to realize there is more to everything that I do. Every nuance of everything I do is a beautiful depiction of the heart, is a beautiful way of understanding the methodology of kindness, of love. Yes, you start to enter into the kindness that is love itself. So, when we meditate, we start to have a mind that is different than the mind that we use day to day. That's a no mind. It is a mind that is not interested in thought itself or what the whys and wherefores of how things happen. It is about something that elevates us, that gives us a sense of inner awakening, inner distinction, away from the idea of trying to cultivate desire, ambition, and pride. And this no mind is a revealer. It gives us impressions, not thoughts. Please hear me on that. There is a very big difference between an impression coming to you from meditation and a thought that strings me along emotionally, telling me that my life will be better if I have this, this, and this, and not that, that, and that. This mind that is a no mind, is a mind that functions as an awakening, as a deep inner awakening. It is a mind that does not comprehend through benefit, trying to find benefit or trying to get things to happen that it wants to have happen. It isn't that kind of mind. It is a mind that is not calculating. And that's all I can really say about it. And to cultivate this mind, one has to practice watching their breath. In by being, I give my students tones. We're working on Tummo now. And these tones are very pulsating. They have kind of a depth to them. And I'm asking my students to imbibe the tones, to pulsate to the tones, to let go of their human thought that is always suspicious, unkind, looking for answers, blah, blah, blah. You wouldn't know. People will say to me, I want meditation to find answers. Answers to what? You wouldn't know an answer if you heard it. You wouldn't even recognize it. What is an answer? Tell me, what constitutes an answer? Something my mind can chew on, something my mind can think about, something my mind believes in. What constitutes an answer? That's the key. What is deeply important is that I find that no mind, I start to develop a mind that is not curious. It is not functioning in the world of right and wrong, good and bad. It starts to be the composition of love, believe it or not, and kindness. And it can receive impressions of the heart. It can actually receive the heart. Most people, they can't receive the heart, not at all, because the heart speaks an entirely different language. The human heart speaks the language of emotionality that people can hear. But the heart of love is not a heart that you can think. It is about tuning in. It's about a vibration and intoning that vibration, allowing that vibration to resonate within us and to change the structure of our entire life. And it will change the structure of your entire life. No mind is a mind no longer considering what is right and wrong, what is good and bad. And it does not think like my Greg Penn mind. It just is. And if you understand that at all, or if you're willing to explore that, if something within you kind of trips you, resonates, you go, oh, yes. You kind of know that, because I think people from time to time, especially in their youth, have these little moments of no mind. And they can I know what he's talking about. It is that place where you go beyond thinking. And the impressions that are revealed to you are far deeper than the ones you think you're thinking. And that is an amazing thing. When you no longer need to think in order to recognize or awaken. That is just so very, very important. It's an art and it's a practice, and one has to really work on it. And I need to say that to you. You really have to work on it. But if you do, if you really work on it and you allow it to function as a life worth living within yourself, then you will find it deeply meaningful. Oh, Carol Ann, you ask a big question. I hope I didn't slaughter that for you. I really hope so. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm not always happy with my own answers, but There are some things that I just don't have words for. Meditation is one of those things that is wordless, and I just simply don't have the, I don't think there are words for it. I think they're not even invented, maybe. Last question comes from Ted in, where is this? He said, Texas. Okay. Greg, I live a very hectic life. I don't really understand how anyone could live in silence. How do I live in silence, Ted? Ted, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you cannot live in silence. Silence is something that first begins with my lips. I keep my mouth shut. Number two, I don't speak unless it's really necessary, and I really don't speak unless it's necessary. And number two, once you have come to that place of a profound silence within you, silence is easy to keep within yourself, very easy. You watch your breath, you move down into the heart chakra, and you just rest in the heart chakra. You do not say or do anything that doesn't need to be said or needs to be uttered. You find your mind calms down, calms down, calms down. Watching your breath, just being quiet, and then building your entire life around this quietness. That is the key. If you build your life around the quietness, in other words, don't have loud, crazy music playing all the time. Don't put off what you need to do because you just don't feel like doing it, yet it has to be done. That causes a great deal of mischief in us, you know, where we have things we know we need to do, but we don't get them done because we're so busy putting them off for the sake of our leisure time. Be orderly in how you live. Be succinct in how you live. Be orderly in how you talk to people, and be succinct in how you talk to people. Do not try to woo them or try to get their affections or try to get what you want out of them. Just let them be there. Be silent, quiet, observant, watching your breath. And then here is the most important part of it, at least for me. You need to discount every thought that comes into your brain that says, well, you ought to say this or you ought to do that. This urgency to try to make ripples in the water or whatever. Instead, just maintain an evenness, a silence. Just let those thoughts pass over. Let them go. Understand what thoughts are. When you are more interested in the anatomy of a thought than the thought itself, you have moved into the right direction, and you have seen things for the way they truly are. But if you don't understand the anatomy of a thought, which comes from the urgency of emotions that we have gratified like little tiny animals that constantly need to be fed something that is fun or emotionally gratifying, if we live in all of that all of the time, then something of the other world can never reach us. We will never understand how to vacuum the house, dust the house, do the yard work in silence, just doing what is before us, just doing it without the compromise of a mind that is saying, you shouldn't do this, too bad we have to do that, we could be doing other things, and getting into the mischief of shoulda, woulda, coulda. And once you get into all of that shoulda, woulda, coulda, you're doomed. You have to let love live you. Every act has to be an act of compassion towards whatever you're doing. Compassion towards your house, yourself, your neighbors, your body, everything. You start to live an entirely different life from within yourself, a life that is truly, truly beautiful. Really, it is. Thank you for your question, Ted. I deeply appreciate it. Please forgive me. Well, I probably didn't answer all of the questions you have in your mind about meditation and such. And if you have any, you know what to do. You can write me at greg@aspire.org. greg@aspire.org. Ask me anything and I'll do my very best to answer. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back with you next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.